I want to read some, if you've got your Bibles, in the 40th chapter of the first verse, Job. The Lord might give us something. For just be humble and sincere and pray. He can. The 40th chapter. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud and abase him. Look on every one that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Behold, now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass like an ox. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinew of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reeds and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadows. The willer of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaws through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? Will thou play with him as with a bird? Or will thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companion make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportions. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his sneezing a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in him in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is firm as a stone. Yea, his heart is a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. The spear, the dart, nor the haberion. The esteemed iron is straw, and brass is rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spread his sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh the path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Notice in this 41st chapter, the Lord speaking of Leviathan, and the things that he says concerning him makes us to know that there is no such like in the earth anywhere. Whatever he is described as a monster. Whatever he is described to our understanding as a monster. I guess this is where they get the story of the great dragon and of the man that defeated the great monster. But anyway, this great monster, he's likened unto a monster. And it says that flames come out of his mouth, and when he sneezes, everything lights up. That he has scales that are so close together the air cannot even get in between them. That he makes the deep of the ocean to boil just like a pot. That he causes it to boil. That he's at home in the heart or down in the base of the sea. That there's no terror to him from anything that dwells in the bottom of the sea. And that he is without fear. That he is without fear. Now that's some monster in it. That's something that you and I wouldn't want to mess with, I'm sure. That's something that we wouldn't want to be around. But anyway, the description that God gives here as a monstrous thing, if we can see what the Lord is talking about, there's a great thing hid in it. I just want to lightly discuss this morning some of the things that we said. First of all, when we think of a monster, we think of something like a great dragon. But when we think of God, we have to think of the ways of God and the things of God on a little different scale. We have to understand them in a little different way because God speaks in a parabolic form. Now, God takes a thing that is a spirit, and that thing which is a spirit, God gives a natural, he gives a natural or an intellectual concept of it. He fixes it to where we'll have a natural or an intellectual concept of it because we cannot see spirits. The Bible said God is a spirit. You can't see God. No man's ever seen God. It said no man ever will see God. So God describes himself through the body of Jesus Christ. Is that right? So then we know God, the eternal spirit, through the body of Jesus. Then the tree of knowledge in the garden, when God gets ready to tell us about the horror of the spirit that overthrowed Eve and the things that took advantage of Eve in the garden as a spirit, then he likens it unto a tree that we should never mess with. And now we find him here with another thing that is spiritual, and he likens this unto a great monster. He makes it to our minds something so horrible and so great, so fantastic that Nobody could ever even conceive in their mind such a being, such a great monster, such an existence. In other words, how could you ever conceive in your mind that in the bottom of the great waters lay a monster so huge and so big? I mean, if he's down there, then what chance does the world have? If he ever comes to the surface and moves out on the earth, it says that you can't hurt him, you can't do nothing with him. Why, he'd just crawl through the land and wreck everything in the world. Everybody would be killed, destroyed. The atom bomb wouldn't be nothing compared to this great monster if he just crawled through the land. Now, that means that there is a spiritual something behind what God is saying. There is a spiritual something behind what God is saying. And that spiritual something has to do with Satan himself. The Bible said he's like a lion. He's made without any fear. He doesn't have any fear at all of anything. He doesn't fear. He has no fear. Even before God, he won't even fear before God. As it was said in the little parable, that the man never feared God. He never feared anybody. This man that Satan had a hold of, he refuses to fear. But yet, when God really shows himself, he'll shake like a leaf. When God really comes forth and shows himself, God said that you wouldn't dare stir him up. You wouldn't dare confront him with all of your bravery. You wouldn't dare come in his presence or stir him up. But God said, I take him and play with him like a canary. Said, I take him and play with him like a bird. I bind him when I want to bind him. In other words, he just says to one member of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, he said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. He said, just bind it for the maidens. Just bind it for the church. Just do it any way you want to, and I'll stand behind it. But he says to the world and them that are not born again and them that don't know anything about Christ, he said, can you do this? They can't do that, but I can do it. We can do it. They that are sons of God can do it. Why? Because he is afraid of God. Though he hath no fear in the thoughts of God to his evil and to his debauchery and to his abased way of life, yet when God comes to him to really mean business, then he gets afraid. The Bible says the devil will flee from you. Rebuke him, he'll flee from you. You can put him behind you. You've got power over him. Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Every devil, every demon, every interruption, every wrong, every sin, every affliction, every sickness, you've got power over it today through Jesus Christ the Lord. But here, this great power, this great evil that we're speaking of here, this great thing that God is telling us about that he calls Leviathan, this great, great power, nobody would dare to rise against it. The kings of the earth, the nations, nobody would dare to rise against it. Nobody would dare to stir him up. But here, this great power, God manifested himself in a human body to make not only an equality of that great power, but manifested himself that he might be superior and in a supremacy to this great power. So today, there's a power that's even greater. Now you say, I don't believe, Brother Pike, that this could be the devil, because it said everything before him would turn into joy. But the Bible said he is the king of the children of pride. Is that right? He is the king of the children of pride. Why does God refer to him as being in the bottom of the sea? Because the Bible said he is the king of the bottomless pit. And scientists know the ocean is that which is bottomless, that which they can't fathom. Though they fathom the depths of it in many places, yet the ultimate of it, they can't be sure about it. It's like a bottomless pit, and he is the king of the bottomless pit. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. Nobody dare stir him up. But the Bible said that God binds him. God binds him for his maidens. And I say again, how does God bind him? He binds him through the membership of his body. He binds him by the sons of God. He binds him according to Revelation. Like when the Lord told him to go over there I told the angel, said, go to the river Euphrates and turn the spirits loose that's bound in the great river Euphrates. Apparently, sometimes or another, Joshua or Moses or some great leader, Elijah, came along there and bound those demons and those devils there in the river Euphrates, and they couldn't get loose. And they stayed bound until God gave leave for them to get loose from the river there. And all through life, all down through the pilgrimage of mankind, there has been a binding of the evil spirits. There's been men that stood for the gospel. There's been men that gave their lives to bind Satan and bind the evil powers. It's Melissa, the church, that tried to tear down the morals of God and tried to tear down the church and everything that God stood for. God's always had men that stood that way. A man can't stand, a natural man can't stand against opposition. You take a man and put him out here without God, he might fight. He might give his life, but he's got to have some kind of cause to give his life for. In other words, he can't stand like a son of God. But a son of God can stand. The Spirit of God can take hold of him, and he can stand when people can't stand before him. The Lord said concerning the children of God, in all the days of thy life, no man shall stand before thee. God spoke to my heart, and God said, no man shall stand before thee, son, all the days of thy life. No man. I had a fella to come over not too long ago. He stood right out here, and he made his remarks because he knew that I had said that. And then he said, well, you said such and such, that God never did tell you that. I said, yes, God did tell me that. He said, well, I stood before you. I said, no, you haven't. I said, you just think that you have. And so it wasn't long before he come back and told me how that he'd fallen and what had happened to him and that he wasn't able to stand. Why? First of all, a man of God's not going to try to stand before you. Somebody say, what about the other man of God? To begin with, a man of God is not going to try to stand against what God has ordained. You don't have to worry about that to begin with. And then the next thing, a man that's out here under the world that doesn't have God, God isn't going to let him stand. Is that right? It takes courage in God to stand. It takes something from God, Brother Taylor, to be able to stand for right things. Some of you carnal-minded men that I got out there, you try to go around pushing your strength around, throwing your weight around and trying to get somebody subdued to your mind, to your feelings. God walks over you like he's a little ant crawling on the ground. God is looking for somebody that's got faith, somebody that lives right, somebody that's trusting in the strength of Jehovah God. Hallelujah. You'd wilt like a jelly bean in the sun. Amen. If you come face to face with what I'm talking about, you say, have you ever met him? I've met him. If you've never met him, you've never had the experience that you'll have someday if you ever run into him. I'll tell you what, the Bible said at the very sight of him, you die. They can't stand in the very presence of him. If it had not been for God, for the Spirit of God, for the strength of God, you come into the presence of him, you die. You die. This great monster, this great power, this great evil. Hallelujah. I feel something, don't you? Hallelujah. When those people in the dark age had to give their lives, and women were known to go put on their finest clothes, their dresses, to get out there for them to kill them, and they walked bravely into the arenas of the lions, roaring lions like in the days of Daniel. If you've never met a lion, you don't know what I'm talking about. I've never met one openly, but you don't know what I'm talking about if you've never met a lion. I heard Brother Branham say that we've just to hear one roar when he's free and loose and you're anywhere around, so to cause you to have a heart attack. I believe that, having been around some that, you know, had a little bit of freedom, more than I thought they ought to have while I was there. I learned that. When you get in the presence of Satan, you can't stand. He roars. You can't stand. But God gives you grace. God gives you strength. God strengthens your heart to where you can stand against the evils of life. Hallelujah. Meet him face to face, but meet him in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's all right to meet him, but
meet him in the power of the Spirit. Meet him like Joshua did when Joshua had power over the sun and over the moon to make the moon and sun stand still. Meet him like Moses did when Moses had power, Brother Willie, to open up the Red Sea and open up the earth. Meet him in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't go in your own ideas. Don't go in your own feelings. Don't go with your own enthusiasm. Don't go with your own plans. But meet him in the power of God. The power of the Spirit, hallelujah. The Bible said Jesus never tried to compete against him. Jesus never tried to meet him, Brother Jim. Jesus never tried to find him until the day that he went into the wilderness and returned in the power of the Spirit. When he returned in the power of the Spirit, then he was searching for him, hallelujah. Amen. A good game hunter, a big game hunter, he'd be foolish to go out into the woods and start looking for an elephant. Start looking for a wild elephant or a wild boar without having the right ammunition and having the right power with him, having the right gun. I wouldn't want to be out there unless I had the right gun, Bob. I'd want the power if I went out there. If I was going to look for a wild elephant through them jungles, them big snakes rolling around in there, I'd want to take some power with me. Hallelujah. When you get into the wilderness, start in the wilderness of the carnal mind, and you meet satanic forces and you meet Satan out there, you've got to have some power from God to be able to stand and do something with him. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. You don't dare stir him up. Jesus never went around him. Jesus never messed with him. But one day, after he was in the power of the Spirit, he stepped out. And he declared his sonship. When you get in the power of the Spirit, you can declare your sonship. You can step out. You don't dare do that until you get in the power of the Spirit. But when you get in the power of the Spirit, you step out, you say, I am a son of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but how can you know? If you don't know, you better not say it. Somebody said, well, I'm thinking, but I'm not sure. Well, you better just keep your mouth shut. Amen. The Bible said we know that we pass from death into life. We know that we're the sons of God because His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. When you step out and you say, Satan, I am a son of the living God. I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. When a lion roars, he doesn't retract that. When he roars and bellers, he doesn't back up. If a lion walks through the jungle, he knows he's a lion. He knows that he's king of the jungle, and he knows he's a lion. And when he walks through the jungle in the big husky elephant with a great tusk and the great trunk and the great hoofs begin to come upon him and try to pounce upon him, he just roars and backs up and moves in for the kill. He don't run. But you take a hireling, the Bible said he'll flee when the wolf cometh. Let something come against him. Here he goes, you know. He's got to gossip. He's got to tail back. He's got to run from house to house. He's got to get everybody stirred up, trying to get him some strength to go along with him. But the old lion don't need nobody. He just backs up and crouches and gets ready for the charge. And he cries out and he bellows out and he meets that whatever it is coming in. He meets it with all that he's got within him. He fights to the death. He locks in there and he fights to the death. He doesn't yield. He stays there till the last breath. That's what God wants. That's what sons of God are. Sons of God are locked up with the devil and they'll stay there. And they'll fight till the death. They'll never move back. They'll stay right there. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that they don't dare stir him up. Why? Because he's the king of the children of pride. He's the king over them. The king of the bottomless pit. Thank you, brother. He's the king of the children of pride. Nobody dare to stir him up. Why? He does like he wants to do. Nobody stops him. Nobody gets in his way. He does like he wants to do. But then there comes a time when God wants to bind him for the maidens. There comes a time, hallelujah, when the Son of God himself steps out. There comes a time when the family of God comes along. Hallelujah. And God will say to Joshua, and God will say to Moses, and God will say to his Elijahs, and God will say to the sons of God, hallelujah, would you like to play with Leviathan like a canary? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you like for me to draw him up out of that vast water and bring him here before you and make him perform? Would you like to be able to bind him and make him do tricks? Hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't believe it, but it's true. God said, I'll pull him up out of the waters and stand him before you. In the very thoughts of God pulling him up out of the deep waters of eternity and standing out there in your presence, you shake and you shiver and you tremble every time you think about him being there. Then all of a sudden, as he draws forward, you're about ready to have a heart attack and you don't know what to do. All of a sudden, when your strength, as Daniel said, turns into corruption, and you feel like you're just like a jelly bean in the sun, all of a sudden from somewhere comes the Spirit of God and the power of the Spirit, and the angel said, Daniel, stand on your feet. Hallelujah. And that there was wilting and flowing down, had no power resistance. All of a sudden it rises up and it stands on his feet and it looks right in the face of the great monster, right in the face of Satan with all of his power, and says, Satan, I charge you in Jesus' name, by the spilt blood of Calvary, I bind you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I see some of these people running around, evangelists hopping, skipping like a bunch of children, running around saying, devil, I bind you. Get out, devil. I bind you. Get away, devil. Well, they ain't never got spiritual enough to even know where the devil lives. That's right. They're just playing a game and putting on a performance for you. That's right. Like some of them that run up over there and said, we adjure you by the God that Paul preaches, the Jesus that Paul preaches. He said, I'm acquainted with Paul and I'm acquainted with Jesus. He said, but I don't know nothing about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm acquainted with Paul and I'm acquainted with Jesus. He said, but you bunch of youngins running around out there, I don't know nothing about you. Amen. I don't know nothing about you. Now, that wasn't what he said, but that was the way he said it. That's what he meant. In other words, you that's going on with your foolishness. He said, I don't know nothing about you. But I'll tell you what, if you are a son of God, there's a record of you in heaven. Amen. There's a record. And it don't make no difference if you're a little old bitty baby just toddling along. You start walking down the street somewhere and the monster Leviathan starts after you. A great angel of God drops down from out of heaven. Hallelujah. Or God will call the big brother. Or some of the sons of God will come by. Amen. And they'll begin to say something and do something. And you'll see something start taking place, my brother. Amen. It'll lead a devil, an evil spirit, seducing powers will take a little child or take some spiritual baby. Lead him off, Brother Taylor. Get him out here away from the God family. Get him out here in the spiritual suck holes of the world. Get him out here in the sand pits and the slime pits of the world. And get him out there to where the little fella, he can't do anything. You know, take something pretty, something of the world, some little jingle, some little dangle to entice the little fella off and keep calling him to get him out of the presence of the bigger brethren and get him out there. But I want you to know that in this family, when a little baby cries and a little baby screams, sons of God begin to search. And they go forth, hallelujah. And they put out a search party. Amen. It won't stop till they find that cry. And they find them evil powers. And they don't back up when they come to them. Hallelujah. Women of old, great, wonderful women that was anointed of God, spilt the last drop of their blood. The last drop of their blood dripped from their veins while other women raged in their heathenistic practices, watching them die and raving. And down in their hearts, no doubt, they thought, oh my, I wish I could be a woman like that. I wish I could do things like that. They saw men die. And the men of old that saw them die in their hearts, they probably said, I wish I could be like that. To go out there and stand and spill my blood in the face of a raging lion as he breaks the bones of the human being. I wish I had courage like that. Hallelujah. Sons and daughters of God. Oh my. Every time I think about it, on the inside I just break all to pieces. Something goes down inside of me and I just break all to pieces every time I think about it. I think the great and mighty people of old, how that they did. How that they did. People, just people like you and I. People with families and little children and wives and visions and hopes in the world. Little bitty folks. Just little bitty people. And how that they walked out there and died, hundreds and thousands of them. Died, torn to pieces. Walked out there in the midst of all of that. But they never recanted. They never recanted. I read the story of Thomas Cranmer. How that when they came to him, how he drawed back on God. And they promised him, said, we'll let you go if you'll deny God. And he denied God. And then after he denied God, they wouldn't keep their word. They wouldn't keep their word. And he was so torn up. And I wrote the song about Fox's Book of Martyrs. I thought about it. He was so tore up, so torn to pieces, so torn up. Until finally when he got there and they held him before the flames, that he didn't know what to do. He knew now that he wasn't dying because of not recanting. Because he'd already recanted. He didn't know how to make restoration. He didn't know what to do. And as they stood in there before the fire, history says that he tore loose. He broke loose from them and run out there and took the hand that wrote the letter of recant and stuck it in the fire and held it, and they couldn't get him away, and said, the hand that betrayed my Savior will be the first one of my members to perish, and held it there until he fell over into the flames. Men, great men. The song where he wrote about Polycarp said he was one of the greatest men that ever lived. A clean, cut, upright man. That everybody loved him. Everywhere. He was such a great man. And then when the authorities came to get him, they said, Polycarp said, why won't you recant? Even they loved him. The ones that had to take him to the stakes. They loved him. And Polycarp said, come on in and eat. Took him in and he sat down and eat a meal. Sat right down there with him and eat. The ones that he knew had come to take him out and sat there and fed him, just like Jesus did Judas when they sat around the table. Sat there and fed him. And they loved him so much, they said, Polycarp said, why don't you recant? Said, why should a man like you go out there and die for nothing? And he told him, this was his statement when he stood out there. He said, all these many years I've served the Lord, I've served Christ, said, he's never done me any harm. And said, there's no reason for me to deny him now. And he stood there and he died. What are we going to do, folks? The time is closing in. The tribulation period's coming in. And we say we're Christians. And we say we got God. I wonder what we're going to do when the crisis comes. Amen. I wonder what's going to happen. I know in our little finite mind and in our little shale and in our little way, we can say, well, bless God, go ahead and do this and go ahead and do that, but I'll be the man. You might be the man that turns and runs like a scared rabbit. I'll tell you, cause you indoctrinate your mind and your thoughts and yourself, cause you prayed a little, sought God a little, that don't mean nothing. Cause you made a little sacrifice and given, that don't mean nothing. When you face the issue, it's going to be horrible. What are you going to do? Peter said, nay, Lord, not me. I'll never run. I'll never betray you. I'll never take the tuck head. But he did. He did. He did. Jesus didn't. And the Lamb of God didn't. You know why he didn't? Because he was dead when he got there. Jesus was dead. By the time he got to Pilate's judgment hall, he was already dead. Amen. A lamb accounted his sheep for the slaughter, Brother Lyman. In this more than conquerors, ye are God's lamb, killed all the day long, swearing to your own hurt. People molesting you, forgetting about everything that's yours, swearing to your own hurt, so he can be God's lamb. Jesus had already killed out his own will, saying, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but whatever you will, God. He'd already killed it out. And when he finally come right down to the crisis and he stood in Pilate's judgment hall, there wasn't anything they could do to him to make him recant. There wasn't anything they could say. They plucked his beard, but he was dead. They tore him and they stuck the spear in him and they spit in his face and they mocked him and they lashed him with the whip. But his will was gone. He'd subdued his will. He'd made a change. He had returned in the power of the Spirit. He died out onto his own relatives, his own flesh. And they come and said, your mother wants to see you.
He said, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. He said, I belong to one family, that's the God family. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to those things. Dead to houses and lands. I'm dead to all of these things. I'm buried with Christ in baptism. I'm risen again in a new life. I'm dead to the world. He said, I'm dead to all of that. Who is my mother? My brothers and sisters, these that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. These are mine. Hallelujah. Dead to those things. Folks, I wonder what it's going to be like in the tribulation. You that feel that you're ready, but you're not. I wonder what it's going to be like in the persecution. Somebody said, well, I wonder what it's going to be like with you, Brother Pike. I do too. I wonder what it's going to be like when I have to stand there if I have to face death. I wonder what it's going to be like if I have to face the gun or the knife, or I have to face some of the things that they went through with, the torture racks, the lions. I wonder what it'd be like. All that a man's got, he'll give for his life. I wonder what it'll be like. But you know what? I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I'm trusting in Him with all my heart that at the hour that it's needed, that from somewhere there'll be something that'll give me courage and give me strength to stand there and do whatever's required of me to do. I believe that His grace is sufficient. I believe He'll give it in that hour. I believe that, Jerry, with all of my heart. I believe that He'll be there. Amen. I believe that He'll be there. He said, I'll never leave you. When the angel of God came to me in Florida, He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll be with you in the time of trouble and in the time of need. And I believe He'll be there. He's met me in every instance. I'd have been swallowed up so many times, physically, spiritually, and financially. I faced a great crisis in the middle of the night last night. A great crisis. But I took His strength and I took His faith and I took His way. And I won out. I won out. I tell you what. It's going to take God. Folks, you need to swear to your own hurt. You need to swear to your own hurt. God has given you power to declare your sonship. He's given you power to do it. To as many as believe, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. He's given you power to declare your sonship. But the thing is, be sure. Be sure, as the song said, be very sure that when you face the devil, that you've been honest with God, that you've been straight with God, that you haven't had personal ambitions, haven't had personal plans, that what you did for God and you did for the good of humanity without any personal desires, without any personal advantage. Be sure. Be very sure. I want you to stand with me now. There's a lot of things that we could say this morning. A minister never finishes. The Bible said we know in part. He just brings a part and then he stops until the next time. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus. Let's sing the little song that we've sang on numerous occasions. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. To me, that's a beautiful song. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of my valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's my bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. I wonder how many of you really and truly know who Jesus is. I wonder if you really know who Jesus is. If you really know who He is, something will happen down in your heart. Something will happen in your heart. I love you this morning, and I wouldn't do nothing to hurt you, to try to tear you down, to molest your little ones, or to put you under a bondage in any way. But I've got a job I got to do. I've got to do it. I've got to do it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you know how I've got to do it. There ain't no way for me, Jim. I got to do it. If I don't do it, I'll go to hell. The Lord then showed me I'd go to hell if I didn't do it. He showed me a vision where if I didn't do it, I'd go to hell. That's right. Not only that, but there's my wife and my children to be considered. If I don't do what's right, my children and my wife, I'll lose them. I've almost lost them a number of times. I'll lose them. I've got to do it. And you say, well, I'm not like that, but some of you are like that too. You just don't know it. God's just been merciful to you because you're just children in the Lord. But some of you are going to have to do it too. You just watch and see. You learn a little more about God and you see that God's got a job for you. He didn't just put you down here to wander around in the world and to just to do any way you want to and just go wherever you want to and plan what you want to. God didn't do that. God's got a job. God's got a purpose. God's got a place and you got to come into it. You might well forget about the world and the things of the world. You say, but I'm going to have what I want. I remember a man over in Mississippi, he told me that. I said, you can't have that. I said, if you do, the plagues go with it. He said, I know that you're telling me the truth, but said, I want something for myself. And some of you say, well, I'm not getting this thing too deep. You get in too deep. You get in too deep, and then you have to give up your car, have to give up your home, have to give up your vacations, have to give up your plans, have to give up your relatives, have to give up your friends, your finance. I ain't going to get in too deep. No, I can tell you for sure you're not going to get in too deep. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. You never even got your feet wet yet. You don't have to worry about getting in too deep because you're not elect to start with. Elect don't even think like that. You're not even elect to start with. You're just somebody that's like Judas. You're just going along for the ride. But I'll tell you one thing. The elect heart is crying out, oh God, thy will be done. Lord, what can I do? Father, help me to do more. Help me to forget myself. Help me forget the world. Help me to forget everything, Lord, and everything I've got, like Solomon said, let me honor you with it, Lord. Everything. Everything. Somebody said, well, Solomon had everything, and he was all right. According to the Bible, he lost out in his old age. You can be rich. God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He does that. He maketh rich, but like Solomon said before he got lost from God, honor the Lord with your substance. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses burst out with new wine. I thought just since I stopped here in just the last few years, God has blessed me to where I can't even find a place to put stuff. Though I give away and give away and give away and give away thousands upon thousands of dollars, I still can't find no place to put nothing. They brought a fan in yesterday. I had to set it on outside here. Trying to find a place to put things. Why? Because the Bible said your barns will be filled with plenty. plenty. My cup runs over. But you're going to have to get in, folks. There's a job for you. You might as well forget about the world. If you belong to this, you belong to it altogether. If you don't belong to it altogether, you don't belong to it. You're just fooling yourself. Let's sing that chorus once again. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Oh, he's the lily of the valley. He's my bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. I want you to bow your heads with me. We're going to let you go. Not hold the service any longer this morning because I was late getting here and I don't want to create an inconvenience for you. We're glad to have our brother Richard with us this morning. Brother Richard's a wonderful person. He's really fought a terrific battle, and God has victoriously blessed him and brought him out. And he's of a Jewish origin. His family, wonderful family, lives over here in Athens. Richard could be anything he wants to be. His daddy's well blessed. His daddy does a scientific work and research. And they want him to go ahead and finish school so he can get into the field of teaching. But his desire is like Moses. Moses, who chose to suffer the affliction of the righteous and be with the godly family rather than enjoy sin for a season, esteeming the treasures of heaven greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. The reproaches of the kingdom. I appreciate Mark. Mark is really making a change. Mark used to, boy, I tell you, if there ever was a little boy that was any more honorary than Mark, I don't know where he come from. But all of a sudden he changed, Brother Charlie. And he's been a sweet person and probably gives me less trouble than any boy that comes on the campground. I guess that goes back to his dad, though. His dad don't give nobody no trouble. Folks aggravate him, but he just gets upset and goes on about his business. So I guess it's tree reproducing after its kind. But he come the other day and he told me, he said, I want to pay tithe. He'd made him some money and he come down and paid his tithe. Mom's legs hurting her and she sent for prayer. She wanted us to pray. But anyway, like I was saying, folks, we need to do something. We need to do something for God. We need to go beyond the call of duty. And don't forget, Brother Little John wants to be baptized today. I hope Bob will let us use the pool, can't we, Bob? I always try to ask because I know that the man might be down there at certain times and we don't want to interrupt him because he's graciously let us use the... I don't want to put Bob on the spot, you know. Cause him to have conflict with him. So anytime it's not right, Bob, you just say no, you know, and I don't know what you mean. But if we can, we want to be over there at the regular place. That's back over here. Go to Ms. Mobley's and turn to the left, down to the next road and turn to the right. Go out there and you'll see Bob's trailer on the right. A neat, nice little place. Beautiful little place and a big, beautiful pasture. The lake's on it. And all you do is just follow the leader and go down to the pond. If there's anybody else to be baptized today, well, you make plans. Probably down there about 3 o'clock baptizing. If you don't know, you can meet us out here a little before 3. If you do know, you can meet us over there at the pond. But if there's anybody else, will you be ready? Sister Anna. We'll do it. Let's pray for Sister Anna and her family. You know, she got a letter from her daughter demanding some of her money. Don, you know, whereas I had told my wife that it was something that had a hold of the girl, it was wanting money and wasn't concerned about the mother or the family. But I know it's her husband pushing her. I know it is, because the girl come here, gave her heart to God, and she had one of the most sincere attitudes and convictions of any one of their daughters or any of them that's come to serve God. And I know it's her husband driving her. Brother Al, I believe, was had a vision that her husband died and left her and the babies, whoever it was. But now, they like to lost their little girl one time. We prayed that God would spare them. But I want to say this to you. It is not wrong for her to have her money. I'd like for some of us to understand that. That was her dad that worked and built that house. And that was her money. He built it for Anna and for the children. And she has all the right in the world to have it. I don't agree with the way that she went about getting it and the things that happened. I don't. I don't agree with that attitude because it deceived her mother. And yet I don't think it did. I think Sister Anna's a wise woman. I don't think it really did. But she has every right to it. And I told Sister Anna to begin with that if I was her, I'd just go ahead and give them children some money, all of them some money out of that, because it was her dad's money. And I don't feel bad at her at all about that. As a matter of fact, I hope God blesses her with it. And she enjoys it because hope she don't get it to her hurt because it belonged to her. But anyway, I thank the Lord for Sister Anna. Let's remember the family. I tell you what, if you want to be prayed for, come on up here. Some of you maybe want to be prayed for. And if you want to be prayed for, we'll pray for you. All right. If you don't want to, it's all right, but if you do, well, come on. Maybe today, I don't know, it might be today that Brother Rich will be baptized. He's been baptized before, but I've been talking to him about being baptized in Jesus' name by somebody that believes in Jesus' name. It just might be that today that he'll be baptized. If I wasn't baptized in Jesus' name, sundown would never catch me until I was, if I could find anybody to baptize me. I mean that. Charlie believes that too. I mean that with all my heart. I believe it. The Bible said, lest you be born of the water and of the Spirit. There's two things, water and Spirit. Somebody said, well, the water means the Spirit. I know that. I know it's typical. But in this instance, he said, lest ye be born of the water and of the Spirit. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience with God that have been baptized into. Not into the titles they put on Christ, but they that have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. All right, does anybody have any spoken requests now, here, before we pray? Do you? Sister? Is he in the hospital? Let's pray for Sister Barbara and Richard, the family, and for her dad, which is in the hospital, having heart problems. Brother Richard. You can if you like.
I just wanted to say that even though I've had a conviction for Christ now for about 7 months, God has really shown me through Brother George that I haven't done anything for the Lord hardly. I mean, I've talked to people about Jesus, and I felt I've told them things that God's wanted me to tell them, but I really feel I haven't done hardly a thing for God, and that this place right here is where God's work is being done. It really is. I've been in Atlanta, and there are some good people in Atlanta, but there's a lot of bad things and going on there, and I really feel that God's work is being done here. The center of God's work is here.
How do you appreciate that testimony?
Hallelujah. It's, the Bible said a little child shall lead him. I tell you, that's good. Coming from a Jewish brother, that's wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah. He must see something. We love Richard. He's one of our spiritual children, and we love him and appreciate the Lord. Want you to work with him and help him, and he'll work with you all that he can. He's a real intelligent person. He is amazingly intelligent in the natural. Reminds me of Paul the Apostle. And, of course, that can be a great hindrance and a great snare, Brother Richard. It has been to him. But he's learning to get around that and come into the great mind of God. But he's a wonderful person just to sit down and talk with. Many of them have some conversations that I really enjoy. I tell you what you do now. If you will, lift your hands up with me, will you? Everybody all together now, just lift your hands up. And let's close our eyes. And I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. I really believe from the bottom of my heart that you're some of the most wonderful people in all of the world. And I mean that. I believe you are. I believe our women, our men, our black folks, our white folks, our Spanish folks, our Jewish people, all of you, I believe you're the most wonderful people in the world. I believe God is drawing you together for a great thing and a great testimony. And let's be prepared. Let's pray. Let's love one another. Let's not fight. Let's not bicker. And when things go wrong on the campground among the families, let's don't take sides with them that are in error. But let's rebuke them in love and say, well, we ought to have coordination and work with our pastor and with the brethren, with the elders, not rebuke the elders, and work with them. And you say, well, there's other elders, Brother Pike. What about them? I respect those, but if they're real elders, they're not going to come against these elders. If they come against this elder or these elders, it's proof that they're not real elders. Now just slip your hands up and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray. Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, God before whom I stand and tremble and shake, dear God, because I reverence thee and I fear thee and I look to thee, and Lord, having no ill will in my heart until this day, Lord, I've continued. Father, having nothing in my heart against man or God. Father, for I feel nothing, no condemnation in my soul or my heart, Lord, toward any man or any woman. Lord, and I thank you for this conscience that's void of offense toward man and God by your Holy Spirit. I ask in the name of Jesus that these requests be remembered.